GM world, or good afternoon or good evening, depending on your longitude around this great earth. Welcome to Decrypting AI from the Emerge team at Decrypt. I'm Ryan Ozawa, Emerging Tech Editor, and I'm joined by intrepid, talented, and handsome author, writer, and podcaster Jason Nelson. How are you doing this, this morning?
I am good, sir. How are you doing, considering you're, what, 3 hours behind me?
That's right. 6 a.m. here in Honolulu, just one of the many perks of living in paradise. Well, we are here to talk about AI and emerging tech, although typically only AI, and I think that's the case for today. Let us start with a recent study of security measures put in place by the different AI models. What were the findings?
Well, this one is a great piece by our favorite Jose Lance over at Decrypt. There was a test that used Grok, Llama, and ChatGPT to see if which one had the weakest security and could be jailbroken to basically respond with malicious content.
Right.
And lo and surprise, surprise, Grok was the worst. It had the worst security features according to this report. And with ChatGPT coming in, I guess if it's worse, does worse first or third?
Right. Second worst.
Basically, Grok had the worst, Llama had the best.
Yeah. Now, it's by
And yeah.
Adversa AI. They're an adversarial based sort of artificial intelligence security company. I think that if your AI has a button that says fun mode, you're just kind of asking for trouble. So that I think is where I would put the problem with Grok. And it was actually kind of distressing reading the article and editing and stuff because like the examples of the things you could get it to tell you, I mean, making a bomb is one thing. How to seduce a child was like, okay, that's
Right.
a little intense.
Be like,
But yeah, you
I
want
think that should not be in your training model.
to
Okay.
would you like to help me find my puppy and have some candy? Like, no, not good. But they tried the various ways that people jailbreak. And now, fascinatingly, of course, even AI enthusiasts, people who love this technology, are always trying to jailbreak it. It's just like jailbreaking your phone, right? You want to get it to do stuff that your designers and manufacturers didn't want you to be able to do. But there's a difference between testing those and doing fun things and doing malicious things. So yeah, this was definitely an interesting review. Was there any other takeaways? Like, we had that very popular story in October about just sending a prompt in a rare language was enough to get it to go around those.
Right. Well, I mean, coming from a background in IT and cybersecurity, I understand red teaming, which is, our job is to attack this thing and see where the holes are. OpenAI spent, we reported on it last year, OpenAI spent millions specifically on red teaming its AI models. So, yeah, that's definitely something that especially with this kind of developing technology, you definitely want to do. But it's funny that when it happens, these are the kind of things you find out. And okay, so wait a minute, it can do what?
Well, I thought the one of the fun takeaways is that, when you they have these restrictions in place, but some of them they're weak enough where you say, well, let's just pretend that this is a different universe where rules don't apply. Like you can get into role play. Well, like pretend that you are a really bad person. And what would a really bad person do? It's like, oh no, that's not good. They're about as fallible and trickable as like a 6-year-old. So that's not great, not great. Well, let's talk about what story that you covered, bringing it up here. I think it was the Higgs field. Was that your story, Jason?
So Higgs Field is a AI developer who makes animated social media content. We covered that they raised 8 million and serious funding. What I thought was interesting, because when I interviewed their CEO, what I found interesting about them was that they intentionally make their videos animated. Animated looking, like cartoonish.
Like cartoony, yeah.
Yeah, cartoony. They do that on purpose because they want to make sure you can't use their technology for deepfakes. Like, you know, those images of Trump being arrested and things like that that came out, that went viral last year, were able to go viral because they were fairly realistic looking picture-wise. They look like pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this looks like a cartoon. You can't, the idea is you shouldn't be able to mistake that for a real thing.
Yeah, they're staying very far from the uncanny valley. Like even the human representations, you know, could be an illustration done with Adobe Illustrator and a pen and a tablet rather than, you know, a photograph or anything. So I thought that's an interesting strategy. The other thing, of course, is that they're talking about short form. They're not trying to make a movie like Sora. I think you asked them specifically about Sora. They were kind enough to be very complimentary about Sora. But they're like, no, this is for a creator or someone who does social media marketing who just needs 15 seconds to do something. And that's really where we're going to apply our strengths. So I think I like that they're kind of niching down into something very specific.
And I think you're going to see it's likely you'll see more models based around the 15 second, less than a minute type of creation. For example, a Super Bowl ad, 15 seconds cost you how many millions? I'm not going to buy Sora when I can only afford 15 seconds, you know, and other models, similar models, because this, you can actually run this one back to models like Runway out a few years ago that did something similar. And these models all basically play off of each other. They, you know, this stand on the shoulders of giants and all. And you can see the progression. And like we said last week, I still find it very interesting that this progression is happening in a relatively short amount of time. You know, we went from barely talking about AI in 2022 to it's everywhere in 2024. You know, that's a really short time, technologically speaking.
I do enjoy the conversations that people are having now that, you know, it turns out maybe AI isn't necessarily the next big thing insofar as like electricity was a next big thing, but the fact that it existed put it everywhere instantly, right? It wasn't, I mean, it took time to do that too, but it's going to be so much a part of the plumbing of the universe that it's not going to be something we can segregate and talk about very specifically.
Right. I've heard it referred to as like the Model T era of technology.
Right.
Yeah. Like we're not still riding around Model Ds, you know?
Right. But it's still exciting to be alive during this time, at least until AI extinguishes us all. All right, well, let's get to politics. This is a Jose story, perhaps not a surprise, but it was a very specific report by Microsoft. And of course, as having ownership of some of the biggest data centers in the world and being a major investor in OpenAI, probably have access to some back-end data that a typical security company would not. And they were specifically sounding the alarm about China using various technologies to sow discontent and disrupt the election season here in the U.S. And of course, they are using artificial intelligence to get that done.
Right. Scroll back up a bit to those two pictures we have. That right there is examples of what they're doing. So they'll show detention centers that don't exist. They'll show combat situations that don't exist, all using artificial intelligence. And it's what I think is the most insidious part about it is that most people don't look beyond the first glimpse of what's that to when they see a picture.
Of course.
So it's able to go viral because the image doesn't get scrutinized.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're scrolling your feed and all of a sudden you see two soldiers standing over a barricaded area full of people. You know, you'll be like, what's that? Let me share it with my friends, you know, and then it just takes off from there. Like this other one showed a mishap on a aircraft carrier, you know, and the aircraft carrier's deck is underneath the water. So I'm not quite sure how well that airplane is going to take off. But you know, it just needs that 1 second to catch someone's eye, and yeah. one click of a retweet or share, and it takes off.
What I thought was fascinating, I mean, certainly we, even in the news business, know that it's basically the headline and photo, and 90% of things that are shared without anybody clicking through to actually read the article. But here we have the other thing that I thought was interesting was that they're using it for the feedback loop. So it's not just like, let's post something and see it go viral, but many of the posts that they talk about are like, what do you think about immigration in the US? Or what do you think about the war in Ukraine? And they don't actually want to know your opinion, except insofar as it provides data for them to know what gets you more riled up than something else. Like if right. you post something and you get 1,000 comments, you're like, well, that was a good one. And you post something and you get like 13 comments, you're like, well, that wasn't a good one. And then they can use AI to continually, you know, augment and amplify and make something even more effective in getting people riled up. Like we are the rats in the machine, the rats in the maze, being zapped intermittently, given cheese intermittently, and eventually you come up with the best way to piss off a rat. Like,
oh, yeah, well, exactly. But you know, it's funny because you know we for what since 2020, everyone's been sounding their, you know, waving their hands about foreign interference in U.S. elections, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a nation state to do it either.
True. Yeah.
It just needs to be someone who has a home-based AI model on their computer and an internet connection. That's all it takes these days. Yeah. You know, and, like we've made some pretty good AI-generated images for our articles that you couldn't necessarily do in a cloud-based AI platform. It yes, required correct. You to have it downloaded to your computer in a private network. So it's not hard to do, you know, it's harder to scrutinize what you're looking at than it is to create it.
Right, right. And so Jose, in our coverage here at Decrypt, we should point out, he covers a lot of these open source, downloadable, locally run models where you're not subject to any of the guardrails that the major players put in place. So if you need to have an image of George Soros or whatever, just picking a person at random, asterisk, you can get it done. I've been trying to get into that. Of course, it requires a little more technical talent than I've got, but you know, even just for transcribing audio from meetings and stuff, now I'm using a local language model setup so that it doesn't go to OpenAI or it doesn't go to Claude AI to listen in on everything that I'm doing. So, right. Yeah, it's and not,
I've
you don't
noticed,
have to be China.
I've noticed that a lot of the newer models are using API pulls mm-hmm, from mm-hmm. the larger models.
Yes.
Have you noticed that? Like they'll say our model does XYZ, but then when you get under the hood, it's pulling from Claude or ChatGPT.
Oh, totally.
Or Llama, right?
Yeah.
It just seems like that's like a selling pitch now as opposed to an actual, we're building an AI model.
Totally. And of course, that would be something to keep in mind if you think that, oh, I'm going to use jasonnelson.ai because it's private. But no, it's still OpenAI on the back
end. It's not private.
Well, speaking of tools, let's close with, well, actually, there's some new news on this coming out today in this category. But let's talk a little bit about these music generator. So if we talk a lot about text generative AI, certainly Sora and all of that for video, but audio is just as hot a space. And just last week, OpenAI put out their Stable Audio 2, a new version of their audio generative AI generator. That was redundant. Mm-hmm. And we had Jose, who's like, well, it's not bad, but you guys have to try Suno and their Suno 3, the third version of their tool, which came out like 3 weeks ago. So we already had a head-to-head to go. You're a podcaster. I mean, and you think and work with audio, Jason. Anything exciting about either Stable Audio 2 or Suno 3?
Well, I think to the podcast bit, with these tools, they make it very easy to recreate real sound. And like, for example, if you go to my Twitter page right now, I have two clips that I uploaded over the last 2 days. Those were made with 11 Labs, AI generator, voice generator. And 11 Labs isn't as advanced as this thing is supposed to be. So if you listen to it, it sounds so smooth. It sounds just like a regular human being. And so now these things are upping the ante because you can mix up the different kinds of audio that you're hearing. It's not just someone speaking, which I thought it was crazy interesting, you know.
Well, I mean, as someone who still podcasts as well, you're kind of like, I need just, or even making videos for YouTube, right? I need a background song that's kind of upbeat and techno, but has a little tropical taste to it. Like, are you going to browse these audio libraries that may or may not be free to use? Are you going to steal audio somewhere? Or are you going to just make it, generate it on that moment and say, hey, I need a 30-second clip with a building tension with strings and trumpets, and it reaches the crescendo where the title card comes up. Like, you can even describe kind of the visual that goes with the audio you're trying to generate, and it'll make it for you. And it's not going to trigger, well, we can get into where they train all of this stuff, but it's not going to tap into anything that's going to trigger a copyright check because it's generating it originally, in quotes, on the spot.
Right. Well, I mean, that's actually a good point. We actually should talk about the copyright bit because, you know, for example, something that we'll be covering later today, you know, there are more laws coming out directed towards basically showing where you get this data from that, you know, you're training your AI model on. I believe Adam Schiff introduced it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's basically if you're an AI generator, AI developer, you have to show that this was not created using this person, this group.
Source material, right.
Material, right. How you prove it, that's where the rubber meets the road. How do you prove it?
That's where all of the lawsuits are, too, is how can you say for sure that it was trained on this? Well, as a quick preview for a story going live in the next hour on Decrypt, we talked about Stable Audio 2 and what was the other one, the other audio tool. By the way, Jose found that Stable Audio 2 wasn't that great, and he showed me examples where he was like, make this thing that sounds like a sci-fi soundtrack or whatever, and it mostly sounded like a sixth grade band, like completely discordant, no rhythm. It was actually kind of awful sounding, whereas the other tool he liked a lot. Well, he is very excited about a tool that debuted today called Udio Music on Twitter, but definitely has the kind of coherence and creativity that he's looking forward to. The fascinating thing was in his, you know, secret little AI circles, he was talking about this probably 2 weeks ago, and we're like, well, that's cool, but, you know, how do we cover it or how do we play with it if it's all, you know, still a rumor? So he's very excited to be able to now cover it. And we'll have that over at decrypt.co.
Well, that actually something that we've spoken about before is the rumor mill around AI. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the hype has led to a lot of people making extraordinary claims that aren't true. So, are at the very least, aren't true right now.
Right.
Let's say it that way to be fair. And it's just, it's exacerbated, in my opinion, by these big models like, what was it, Voice AI that Meta put out. And I forget the one that OpenAI put out, but they pulled them back from public release saying that they were too dangerous.
Right, right.
And I'm like, well, why'd you tell us about it? You know, like, why are you doing that?
Well, we did this great thing, but we can't share it with you.
We can't share it with you. You know, I have this great car outside, but I can't show it to you. It's top secret. Right? Why would you do that?
Well, it's here under my car cover, but trust me, it's awesome. It's the Tesla. It's the Tesla 9, but you'll never. I can't tell you about it. I mean, right up there, of course. Yeah, is Elon Musk saying, was it just a couple of days ago, like, here comes the next version of Grok and it's going to be 10 times better than OpenAI? And we're like, it still gets, I mean, we didn't cover that, but it still gets covered everywhere. Like, you know, Grok 12 is going to come out and it's going to kick OpenAI's butt. Like, who says? It's just a tweet from a crazy person.
Let's say eccentric.
Sorry.
But no, that's true. I mean, you're seeing it's kind of like the way crypto was back in, say, 2019, 2020, where everybody had a blockchain. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a cryptocurrency, and most of it was junk. Most of it didn't even do anything. Most of it you couldn't even take off of their website. But they're riding the hype train, you know, and that's what you have a lot of today is people riding the AI hype train. And so what I like how what we do and what specifically what Jose does is he scrutinizes this stuff. We scrutinize this stuff. We don't just write about you exist. We want to see what you do.
Right.
And I think that's what gives us an edge over our lovely competitors is that we actually get in there with a spoon and see what's under the
we dig around. I totally agree. Well, those are our AI headlines for the week. And of course, we do this every week. Let's sign off. Jason, can you share where folks can keep up with us?
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this short one. You can find me at Dragonwolf Tech on social media. And Ryan is at Hawaii. Udi is up.
Yep. Emerge at decrypt.co. We do this every Wednesday, ridiculously early in Hawaii, but for those of you fortunate or unfortunate enough to not be here, it's, I think, around noon on Eastern Standard Time. So we hope you'll join us. We're going to be using the same link going forward, so you can just sign up there to be notified every time we're about to go live. But until next week, Jason, aloha.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks, everybody.